I am Anya, and I'm the founder of Support for Crohn's. With me today is Dr. Peter Bruno, an assistant professor of urology at the University of California, San Francisco. How are you doing, Dr. Bruno?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you, Anya. You can call me Peter, but I really appreciate you having me on with this podcast.
Thank you, Peter. So first off, do you mind explaining your research?
Sure, yeah. Maybe you best call me a genomic immunologist, in that I study immunology with an emphasis on how genes work to influence immunological phenomenon. And we do this with molecular biology and cell culture techniques.
That's really interesting. And so the first question I had was, what initially drew you to immunology and encouraged you to pursue a PhD?
Yeah, I think I'd always been a bit curious about immunology, just because, you know, we all get sick at one time or another as a kid. And then my father had a lot of allergies to a lot of unusual things, like all citrus fruits, for instance, and all birds. And I just thought that was always strange. But I didn't really think much about it until I got to college and I took an immunology class. And it just clicked a little faster than, you know, I like biology in general, and that's always clicked for me, generally speaking, but immunology more so clicked. And it seemed like it was a lot further along than other subspecialties of biology in terms of how they characterize the cells and the relationships between them. And it was almost, you know, in some ways I think presented itself maybe more as an engineering, having engineering potential because of the early rules that had already been established in immunological systems. And so I think that's what drew me into it the most, probably.
That's really interesting. Thank you, Peter. And for our listeners, can you please give a short explanation of what actually is an autoimmune disease?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of ways to define it, given the, you know, a particular disease, but maybe the broadest definition would be sort of it's an uncontrolled reaction of your immune system against yourself. And not a foreign or pathogenic entity.
Okay, that's great. And so who exactly is affected by autoimmune diseases? Are people of a specific region, are people of a specific region more susceptible? Are people of a certain race?
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty broadly, autoimmune disease can affect anybody, like, you know, depending on age or gender or ethnicity or any of these things. Like, there's autoimmune disease that can affect anyone, but there are particular categories of people that can be more predisposed or more often affected. Like, women, for instance, have something like threefold higher incidence of autoimmune disease than men. And then in terms of particular regions where people are more susceptible to autoimmune disease, I think there's two factors to consider there. That generally, autoimmune diseases are characterized to have a higher incidence in developed countries. And that feeds back into this so-called hygiene hypothesis. That in developed countries, there's more modern sanitation and food production, there tends to be a higher incidence of autoimmune disease. It's thought that perhaps that's because in this hygiene hypothesis, it's theorized that in these people from more modern developed countries, since you have less exposure to things like parasites, you know, tapeworms, roundworms, whatever, and other pathogens that aren't too common in modern countries, developed countries, your immune system has the opportunity to turn it on itself. And whereas it's not happening if you have intestinal worms, say. So that's one theory for why different regions can be more affected than others. There's not a lot of good evidence for that, but it's a theory that's been, hasn't been disproved, you know, in 3 or 4 decades that it's been around. Then there's something a little more subtle, perhaps, in that people from different regions often can have different gene variants. And variants of these genes can then affect predisposition to autoimmunity. So in that situation, you can also have autoimmunity arising from different regions, but in that case, the cause is genetic as opposed to being environmental. But for most diseases, and autoimmunity is no exception, environmental and genetic factors are really important in incidence of disease.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. And do you know how and why it gets triggered? I know there are many different types.
Right. Yeah, so that's, I mean, I think if you had an easy answer to that question, I wouldn't be here talking to you and be accepting my Nobel Prize and swimming in money, because it's a really complicated question as to how these autoimmune diseases arise in the first place. I think, kind of think about the immune system as being on a seesaw or a teeter-totter, whatever you want to call it, where you have, a normally functioning immune system is perfectly balanced between properly recognizing pathogens and properly recognizing self, such that it only attacks pathogens and doesn't attack self. But when the seesaw gets a little bit out of balance, where maybe it's not, if it doesn't recognize pathogens well enough, then you succumb to infectious disease. And if it starts recognizing self a little bit better, and that's not held in check by the tolerance mechanisms of the immune system, then it starts attacking self. And this delicate balance of this seesaw is disturbed, and that's how you get autoimmune disease. So there's many different ways you could imagine, disrupting the balance of a seesaw, right? It's like either, say you have two people sitting on either end, you know, one represents, you know, the tolerance angle, keeping the immune system in check, and the other represents, you know, the immune system wanting to attack something. If one person gets up, then on either end, or one person gets heavier on either end, the balance is disrupted. So I think the different autoimmune diseases represent playing with different parts of the balance, whether it's, you know, tilting, making one side of the seesaw heavier or one side of the seesaw lighter, that can trigger autoimmunity. So I can go into this particular examples, but that's the best way to explain it broadly, I think.
Yes. Do you mind mentioning, like, an example?
Yeah. So I think, one that's gaining traction that's certainly relevant to a lot of people and pretty exciting is the example of multiple sclerosis. And that they think what is happening is there's some form of what's called molecular mimicry that's triggering the disease. So the study that really lent credence to this was done by the Veterans Administration, where they looked at veterans who came down with multiple sclerosis, but because they're the VA, they have this, you know, long, long history of all prior, you know, health conditions for all these veterans. And it was basically shown by the study that anyone who had multiple sclerosis had also had Epstein-Barr virus, which is a very common virus that the majority of us are infected with by adulthood, but not all of us. And so like 90% plus. And just about every record in the VA of having multiple sclerosis, it also had Epstein-Barr virus or EBV. So it's thought that EBV is this initiating event, a required event in the development of multiple sclerosis, likely because there's some piece of the virus that looks to the immune system like something that's self. You know, like in multiple sclerosis, you get an attack of neurons. and the myelin that protects them. So it's thought that perhaps there's something about EBV that looks like myelin or the neurons. And then after the immune system is done responding to the virus, it turns its attention to those neurons or myelin.